lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
T Shavs.
Jay Shaw.
What is going on?
Episode 112, Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Bro, huge episode coming up.
Man, it's good to be back in Europe, isn't it? MotoGP. I mean, the crowd was just amazing. Yeah. Like it's hard to come up with words. 6:30 in the morning, the lights, like just the crazy atmosphere. And I think even MotoGP was shocked. I mean, the CEO put out a statement and said, like, this is the most amazing thing he's ever seen. He's never seen, I'm paraphrasing here, Jerez like this, you know? Special time to be a fan of MotoGP, that's for
Bucket
sure.
Bucket list item being on that hill. Everyone just says how incredible it is and how everyone's just maniacs. And the sprint race podium, like, it was like a soccer crowd, man. It was just
incredible.
So cool to see. They're so passionate. And we put up a little poll on our Instagram saying, is Jerez the Spanish now the best fans? And I think it was like 70% yes.
Oh, look, I think we're going to a couple of weeks. Le Mans has probably said something to say about that.
But exactly.
I don't think we've experienced something like that for a very long time. It's probably like Mugello Rossi era vibes, similar situation. And seeing Alex Marquez fist bumping in the last sector.
Yeah.
Going around that corner.
Stadium section.
And just like, how good's a stadium section?
The best.
They're heading into the stadium section. It was special. It was special with Alex Marquez winning as well. I mean, it's his first race win. Lived in the shadows for so long. So it's a special moment winning in arguably his home race.
Home race.
Yeah.
Mate, we're going to get into all that. Shout out to motoheaven.com.au, our best friends, our partners out there. Head out to motoheaven.com.au. They're awesome people out there. Get all your gear, get parts, accessories, showy helmets, HJC. What other brands are there? Alpine Stars. Give me a brand, Tommy.
Barkbusters.
Barkbusters, nice.
Owned by our friends at
Bruce Collins.
Bruce Collins, yes.
Our boys. They'll be happy to hear that.
Thank you.
They'll be happy to hear that.
And guys, Nemean Clothing do an amazing, becoming an amazing range of accessories, motorbike clothing, I should say. So jump on Nemean.clothing for all of that. Just check them out. That's all we want you to do. Come and check them out. See what you think. I mean, it's a product that's come to the market we're super excited about. So I'll jump into results. First of all, our YouTube listeners, thank you. Subscribe, like, we love the love. Simple as that.
Love the love. We love love.
We love love. So that's been growing. We really appreciate that. And then straight after this, we're shooting a Patreon app. So if anyone wants to see the highlights of our April 2025, that's what's going to be coming up in Patreon.
A lot of highlights, a lot of lowlights, a lot of things to say, a lot of different things to say.
Oh yeah,
we have a fraud of a month.
Yes, and also if we're all uncut on that app, so if you think we could be even worse.
If you like Effin and Jeffin, who's Jeff?
And CNPN. All right, guys, sprint race results first of all. Marc Marquez, 5 out of 5. Alex Marquez, 2nd. Bagnaia becoming a lonely 3rd standard sprint race for him. Morbidelli, 4th. Aldeguer, 5th. Big ups.
Your boy.
Digia, 6th. Vinales, 7th. Unblock us. Bezzecchi, 8th. Mir 9th and Pedro Acosta 10th. What can we say?
Marc Marquez just kept rolling on. Just controlled the race, owned the race, didn't he?
As always, yeah.
Alex Marquez, obviously 2nd. As we spoke about, the podium, like the sprint race podium was just like a sight to behold. And then Bagnaia just did his job in 3rd, got a podium.
Yeah.
Shout out to Furman and 5th. Great result. And, you know, one of the big talking points is that day, Quartararo on pole, one of the best laps you're ever going to see. Just how he just rode the balls off that bike was just...
Yeah, what was incredible about that as well is full of Spaniards there. And they all stood up and appreciated it, even though he beat the Marquezes and all the other Spanish riders. It was full appreciation.
Yeah.
And I think...
great call,
It's a great crowd, you know, like if it's in other, European nations, not to name any, They're normally one-eyed, yeah. one-eyed. So that was great to see. Main race, Alex Marquez with his first win and first win in any sort of category since 2019, which is a long time between drinks and really seen this day and age in racing.
Yeah.
To go that long without a win is unbelievable. Quartararo second, again, an amazing race.
Amazing.
Bagnaia third. Vinales fourth, making this KTM work crazy. Digia fifth. Binder sixth, seventh Acosta, eighth Agura, ninth Bastianini, and Marini 10th. So, yeah, pretty incredible. Different results. Lots of crashes. Obviously, I mean, there was all the KDMs in the top 10. I mean, four KDMs in the wild, top 10, which wild. Is wild.
Marquez crashing.
Yeah,
I guess the first thing we're gonna get to all of this. There's so much to talk about, and it's funny. This last week we were talking about how. You can easily predict 1, 2, and 3, and then this happens. You've got Alex winning, yes. Fabio Quartararo, and then Bagnaia and Marquez crashing. We're talking about the middle pack.
Yeah.
But what Matthew Burt said to me on the telecast after Quartararo's lap, I think we should get into Fabio, is form is temporary, class is permanent.
Oh, what a call. Yeah, what a call.
What an amazing call that is. And it is just the most true thing ever, especially Fabio. Like, he has just been riding that dog of a bike. And to make it work around Jerez, you know, he loves that track. He dominated, I think, that weekend in 2020.
Yeah.
It's a Yamaha track, but, you know, they're still that far behind the eight ball of Ducati. And some of the other manufacturers, that lap he did in qualifying was just so special. And then, you know, he's fighting with Mark into that tight hairpin, loses the front end. You could see him just losing it going into that corner. Like, it was just gone. And he came out and said afterwards, he's like, I had to have a crack, and I'm not fighting for the world title. If I crashed, I crashed.
Yep. We didn't all bin it.
Win it or bin it, bit Marquez style. But
for him to back it up in the main race and to hold Bagnaia behind him. Now, Bagnaia came out after the race and said, I hate races like this, because he just got up to the back of Quartararo. He couldn't attack.
Tire pressures,
overheating. And it's super frustrating, obviously. But for Bagnaia to still not pass him after 25 laps on that Ducati, you know.
Strange.
It's strange. It really is. And just a strange weekend from him. So, but again, Mark Marquez crashing makes the championship tight again. Just keeps Bagnaia in it.
Yeah.
So he's just got to keep doing this. But as you said, back to Quartararo, performance of the week.
Yeah.
You know, putting on pole, unfortunately crashing the sprint race, and then, you know, second place.
I mean, just an incredible ride. It's so well deserved, and I was rooting for him. And he got that start. Like, Yamaha's nailed those starts a bit better now. Yeah. And just to really fight it out there, and then just to hold off, you know, like Alex Marquez, to his credit, had a great pass on turn one. Turn one's a very tricky corner.
Pass, that was amazing pass. Came from a long way back.
Underappreciated that.
It came from a long way back. Didn't, you know, it was a block pass to a certain extent, but didn't fuck the both. Yeah. Some of those passes, they knock him out, they all both go wide, yeah. Then Bagnaia just comes through.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it was still level headed and calculated, and it was an amazing pass. And some of the corners on that track, I don't know what it is. It's just something about that circuit.
It's an amazing.
It doesn't have circuit. That amazing, like, section that you're like, oh my God, these things are going. It's just all perfect. Like, it's just.
It is. It's just flowy, and it doesn't need to be. And then there's not flowy parts. It's like off. Like, that first corner is very tricky. It's a very, very, yeah. very tricky first corner. And even that downhill second corner is a tough corner as well. So.
That is off camber, that yeah. second corner. But yeah, and then, you know, Marquez being, they were saying two to four tenths faster in the turn 7th and 8th.
Mm.
Like, that was his left-handers, and he crashes turn 8. Like, you just can't write about this stuff.
I know. It's just,
yeah,
it's incredible. And like, okay, we'll get to Mark, but let's speak about Alex, because I was like Sepsi, I was tearing up. It was so good to see. Like, it's so well-deserved. And bro, like, he has, you know, had a great junior career, but MotoGP just hasn't worked out. He's been on the wrong bike, whatever. And then, like, to add to it, his brother's won all these titles. He's obviously been in the shadow of his brother for a long time. But to see him get that win, you know, albeit Mark crashed, whatever, but that's an unforced error.
He had the pace, though.
Yeah.
He had the pace.
And he's had pace. just about every single race this season. So, man, it's just so good to see. I'm so happy. It was such a heartwarming round with Cordararo and Alex Marquez.
Cordararo, the crowd, and then, you know, Espana getting his first win at Jerez on that kind of day, you know, like sun was shining. You couldn't ask for anything better. You're right, he came back to the box. His girlfriend was in tears.
Yeah.
His mum was in tears. Yep. I'm getting goosebumps now. I'm thinking about it. But and then just everyone was so happy. Everyone was so elated. And look, I said to you last night, I said I couldn't believe Mark didn't stop on that post lap. I thought to myself, oh, he'll be stopped somewhere and they'll high five and get the photo. You can tell how much a competitor Mark Marquez still is. He went straight to the box, you know, and then he would have cooled down.
Yeah,
and then he walked to the underneath Parc the podium, Fermé. Parc Fermé. But yeah, kudos to Alex, and you know, this could be something. Like in the back of his head now, can he fight for this world championship? I mean, you wouldn't even your wildest dreams predict this at the start of the year. Yeah. He had a great test.
Yeah,
he was probably one of the over the testing period, probably the fastest rider, but. As we know with Vinales, testing is different to racing. So
when do you consider Alex Marquez a championship threat? Like if we're in, you know, Saxon Ring or Silverstone, or is it like the flyaways again? Like, and he's still in the title fight. Like when is he? Because we're still talking about Pecco Bagnaia and like when he's going to make his move, if he's going to make his move. But Alex Marquez keeps showing up with P2s, 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 yeah. P2s, P6, P2s, P2s, P1. Like,
well, you're right. I mean, Alex has been there or thereabouts every single race. I still don't consider him as a title contender. As in the one, I think Bagnaia's for me still, you know, still going to have the pace over the year. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we go into sort of the flyaways at the end of the year. If you're still there or thereabouts, there can be some crazy results when we come back to Australia, Malaysia, you know, these kind of tracks where it always throws up a wacky result.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, exciting to see. And we're going to Sepang. We're going to be Phillip Island and Sepang this year. So we want this championship to go as long as possible. Because I'd hate to get to Phillip Island and Marquez already have won the championship. Because it just always takes that little sting out of the event.
Bit. Yeah, it does.
It has over 100%. The years. It has over the years. Definitely at Phillip Island, I think. Because it's just that championship is always the most exciting part of the weekend. I mean, I actually get frustrated by this. They like Matt Burn on commentary. Oh my god, he's taken the championship lead. It's like round five.
1 point.
I hate talking about it this early in the season. Oh my god, he's if Mark gets up to 11th, they're going to be even. Like we got 18 races still to go. Like why are we talking about the championship all the time? But it's just how it is, I suppose. The same as Formula One. They love talking about live championship they've got up.
Like but you know what? I love it. I'm the opposite of you. I love looking at it. I like
too soon. Too soon.
I like it. I'm in for it.
Too soon. But yeah, it's kudos to Alex. He well deserved. And a lot of people would have been, including myself, would have been writing him off forever winning a race. I had this question for you, James, and it's a silly question, but I had to have a hard think about it. Would you rather be a Moto 3 or Moto 2 champion? Or a MotoGP race winner?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because I'm thinking to myself, over the years, there has been so many Moto3 and Moto2 world champions that have just been lost in translation.
Oh, yeah.
And I think to myself, I can't remember who won 01 and 02 and 03, all that kind of year. But I can go, well, Chris Vermeulen won at Le Mans.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember like Troy Bayliss winning at
Valencia.
Like you remember these things.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like a more important thing to be a MotoGP race winner. So
Tony Elias and Estoril,
yeah, all these like you don't remember like you might, but I don't remember if Tony Elias won a Moto or 125 or 250 championship. So for me, it's like we know he won that race, and he'll ever be a MotoGP winner. So what do you think about that?
Great question. Great question. You've probably, you know what, when you first asked me that, I'm like, oh, I think I'd rather be a world champion. But then you just kind of sold me. You're right. Like, I only really remember. Like, yeah, I remember some Moto 2 or 250 or 125cc world champions, but I'd rather be a MotoGP race winner. Like, you just go down in infamy.
Yeah, it's I'd love to know at home what you guys think and comment below. But yeah, it was a question I was grappling with yesterday, and obviously will either be never of those things, but
yeah.
And Moto 2 and Moto 3 has, and you know, 125, 250 over the years, it just has grown into something that is so important. We compare it to Formula 1 and F2 and F3 are nowhere near as important in the field, in the paddock, I should say.
Yeah, yeah, like definitely. And look, it's a little bit different, but you've got Danny Pedrosa. He's obviously won races, but he's never won a MotoGP world title and only done a lot in the 125s and 250s. Mm. Max Biaggi, again, I think he won like 5 250s worth, you know, titles, but I guess only won a handful of races or a few more than a handful of races in MotoGP as well. But they're still race winners, so it's a great question. So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are
a replica helmet.
Okay,
so I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want, brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
Yeah, it is. And of course, you same thing straight away. I think that's a silly question. Of course, you want to be a champion. But then you go, wow, you know, I just remember talking to, you know, Chris Vermeulen about that. And, you know, he, I'm a MotoGP race winner.
Gabor Talmashi, I think he's 2004 125cc champion. Is it around there? 04, 05.
So 04, we're talking Hungarian. Like, we're up there talking peak MotoGP at that time. Like Rossi. Yeah. Not peak, but, you know, it's good memories back then. No, couldn't tell you. No. Never heard of that name in my life.
Gabor Talmashi.
And I watched it back then.
Aspar. I think he was on an Aspar back in the day. Funny enough. Hey, what do you think of the rider of the race?
I love it. Well, it's stolen from Formula One, which is fine. Rider of the race, I reckon could get a bit of tweaking. I don't know. It doesn't flow that off the tongue too well. Rider of the race, but it might grow on me.
Yeah.
But I like it, definitely. It's always a stupid in Formula One because, like, you go to Japan and then, you know, Tsunoda, if he finishes 16th, then he gets driver. like, Kimi Antonelli won driver of the day in... I forget. I don't know. Maybe it was Bahrain. And like, he finished like 8th.
I don't think he even like improved. I think he was, wasn't he like 8th to 8th?
Yeah. And he was like, why? Oh, maybe it was China. I think, I don't know. Yeah. And he was like, why? Why did I win that? Like, yeah, for me, I mean, it had to be Quartararo, didn't it? I mean, Alex Marquez.
Either of them were good.
Yeah. 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 It's, but yeah, for me, it's a great addition to the telecast. I wanted to say as well, God, the commentators do a great job over that. Like Matt Burt and
Steve Day,
you just have to appreciate. Like Steve Day, for instance, I'll give you an example. I'm watching the camera is on the battle up front. The corner of your eye down here, someone goes slightly wide.
Mm.
Steve Day doesn't address that. But 3/4 of around the track, he goes, oh, Morbidelli. He lost 4/10 in the first sector, ran wide in the first corner. He knew. He says it, but doesn't say it until it's... And like it takes a very... It's very intelligent. Man. And I'm thinking, oh, I saw him run wide, but they didn't notice it. But then they do eventually. And just those little things you really appreciate. I love when they start hitting the gravel and they go, oh, here, he's going down their headsets. And everyone's like, oh, who is it? Like, that's a cool thing
A cool thing.
Love that. And I love that's just exhilarating.
And
you know?
It's cool because you can hear that in the telecast. Yeah. Like, we hear that. Like, who's going down?
And then you see Marquez in the gravel. You're like, oh my God. And then every time you see, like, if you're a Marquez fan, you probably think, oh, Bagnaia, please be Bagnaia. And then it's Marquez and vice versa. And
or
we had,
it's one year.
We'll get on to that in a sec, Harry. I'll talk to her about Harry about that in a sec. low sighting again. 9 of the last 11 races he's done. Crazy. He's got the bike now. unbelievable. So, what were we talking about? Shit.
How good commentators are.
Commentators are. Yeah. And then, I had something. I had a great point I was going to talk to you about.
I'll come back up.
Yeah.
Mark Marquez has crashed, bro. What's going on? On his favorite left hander.
Yeah, on the favorite left hander. We touched on it before. It's for me, he was going way too hot into that corner. You could see how much he was gaining on Bagnaia as well. Just didn't need to do it, did he?
Is it something where he expected just to be out in front and it was a tire pressure issue? Because his tire pressures were obviously supposed to be for out front, you know, clear air, but he was 3 bikes back, whatever it is.
Two bikes back.
Yeah. And then the thing with Mark Marquez is you got to beat him up. And that's what Pecco did. To his credit, that's exactly what he did. He was more ruthless and he just didn't give an inch. And then the last thing you want with Mark Marquez is for him to be in a rhythm. Once he's in a rhythm, see you later. Like, it's not happening.
Well, I think the other thing is Bagnaia was probably a little over aggressive on that last sector, but racing's racing.
That's racing's racing. Fair call.
But Marquez could have been seeing red. And when Marquez sees red, then you start overriding the bike and you start doing what he did. And it's easy to say it from here.
Yeah.
But for me, Cota was different. Cota, he was out in front. He made a fundamental mistake on the curb. Lacks of concentration. But this wasn't lacks of concentration. This was probably overriding the bike.
The thing is like, they're both unforced errors though. Like, they are both unforced errors.
Mm.
And Mark Marquez said at the start of the season, I'm not here to override the bike. I'm here to like work my way into each race. And he knows. And he said it this weekend. The second half of the race is my race. He didn't have to push. He could have just held back a little bit. And, you know, Quartararo for him was a lamb to the slaughter, really.
You were right. Sorry. He was 3 bikes back. He was fourth, wasn't he?
I think so.
Because Alex was in front of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Either way, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's just very surprising.
I think the other's couple of points here. Super hard track to pass, you'd say. I mean, Bagnaia couldn't get past at Yamaha, which is crazy.
And then a branch off that is, it seems to be just tire issues.
100%. And is he thinking in his head, I got to just get out in front?
Well, yes, exactly right. Because MotoGP these days is a race to the first 5 laps.
Mm.
And that's why Bagnaia pushed so hard. And that's why we saw Alex Marquez's dive bomb from the stadium section. Like, and almost,
from the UFOs.
Yeah. Like, almost pinballed everyone, which is Jesus Christ. We haven't
spoken about that. You're right. The end of the back straight.
Yeah. I was almost sick watching that.
That's the first lap was so crazy. I didn't actually remember that happened. He was... For him to recover from there, and actually, I'll go back on my point. He definitely was behind Mark at that point, because he was out in the wheel.
He almost took him out.
He did. He had to pin. Like, that was actually, I never saw any onboard footage of that, but that was crazy. That was like Aaron Canet back in 2015.
Oh, yeah, you might not be far off.
He skittled like 16. 4 riders up there.
At least.
Did he get banned for 2 races or something, maybe? But I mean, I think I called a ban, but I think you got like double long lap or something.
I can't remember.
That long ago. Couldn't have been 10 years ago. Could have probably 2018, 19.
You're probably right.
But I mean, once at the 103. But back to that point in talking about getting to the front, I think if Bagnaia wasn't the rider in front of him, I don't think he would have made that same mistake. I think he was seeing red and he goes, I want to get back in front of this guy.
Well, he 100% wanted to get back in front. But he was making mistakes. He was making mistakes a lap before that.
Mm.
Like, it's just... The thing with Mark is he just had to wait. He had to be patient. He just had to... He didn't have any patience. And... They're two unforced errors that he didn't have to
He's
make.
Going to sprint race himself to the championship like Jorge Martin did last year. So
yeah, he could. Well, Mark Marquez, if he finishes the race, he wins. Statistically, it's been 10 races. He's finished 8, won 8, and DNF 2.
Well, he got points in the end last night, but...
It might as well be a DNF.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He either falls off or he wins. Yeah. Simple as that.
He's still winning.
And that's the thing, and they've said that from the start of the year. It's... The only person who's going to beat Marc Marquez is Marc Marquez. But this is where Bagnaia has got to see that and go, I'm going to do this every race. I'm just going to chuck it up the inside. And if we both go down, we both go down.
I just don't think he can get to him though. He's got to get to him first. And
he's got to put on third like he did.
Exactly. Yeah. And you saw that in Jerez and he could do that. But like, you got to be there with him and you got to be there with him at the end because Marc Marquez had half a bike at the end of that race and was pulling in the fastest laps.
I know that the aero nowadays on those bikes, that would have really disrupted a lot of things. And he's doing 138 flats for fun.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And it was a decent off as well. Like he was in fair away in the sand trap. He got up fairly quickly. But for me to get back on the bike and then to get, I think he finished 11th in the end or maybe 12th, was a really good effort.
Do you think there was a bit of PTSD from Marc Marquez? Because he actually rode through the field quite sensibly and he even had a bit of a battle with Aleix Espargaró on that Honda. But like, okay, he's in Jerez, he crashes and then he's trying to make up ground exactly like what, you know, obviously he ran off last time, but exactly like 2020. I was just thinking, oh God, this is just like such PTSD for
Mark. It's something that I actually didn't think about and is a crazy good point.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he would have had to mentally go, I can't do this again. I can't go through that again.
Yeah.
And you're right. It was a steady way through the field. He wasn't doing silly, stupid moves.
Still but, had fastest laps.
Yeah.
But wasn't, you're exactly right. Still wasn't silly, stupid moves.
But back to my point I'm saying before, like me, it was really telling for me that he didn't stop and celebrate with Alex. Like, I know it might not be a big point in a lot of people's heads and thinking, oh, yeah, you know. But, you know, every time Alex is being beaten this year by Mark, it's a celebration for both of them. And I know he went down and I know, you know, in different circumstances altogether, but you know, I just found that crazy to me, but maybe that's just me.
I think the dude's just hard on himself.
Yeah.
He's just the ultimate competitor and like he knew he fucked up.
Yeah. It was solely his fault.
Solely his fault, which good for us. He's still 20 points up on Bagnaia, and if he's the main championship threat, which I don't know if he is, is like still big points. Obviously early in the season, but it's still 20 points. Like to recover 20 points on Marc Marquez is a hard thing to do.
Too early.
Do you Bags not beating Alex Marquez on his old bike? And Quartararo and Yamaha. Is there a lot to read into that? Or is it just a tyre pressure thing? Like,
It's hard. I think we touched on it before. It came out in the press afterwards and said, you know, I hate those kind of races because I just couldn't get close. But yeah, you're right. The Alex Marquez got past Quartararo.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a very similar package they've both got. And one could do it and the other couldn't. I think he's just lacking... I think he's just lacking confidence with the bike and the tyres. So... yeah, for me, his head's slightly gone, but can he get it back? That's a big question.
I'm looking forward to Mugello. Jerez is his track. He's won the last three races there, but Mugello is Mugello.
Mugello.
And Marquez is both.
And Le Mans as well. Le Mans is a big... that's going to be a big test.
They're all tests now.
Yeah. And Bags didn't do too well last year, I think. He got passed on the last lap by Martin, didn't he? And he didn't win the race on it from memory.
I think so. I think you're right, actually.
Yeah. So yeah, that's for me. Le Mans going to be like, we're back, baby. Like Europe, it's the where it belongs, you know. The crowds,
the times for us.
The times for us. I mean, I couldn't believe it, and we're going to talk about Moto2 and Moto3 soon. But how good the Aussies were going there in the smaller categories. Like I'm thinking to myself, these Spanish kids have been there, you know, that many times in their life, where the Aussies have to fly 20 hours to get there, and they're in some of the categories. I mean, Rookies Cup, we're going to speak about that later. And yeah, it's pretty incredible.
It was really crazy.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. But you got to be in it to win it.
That's it.
And they won it, mate.
Firmin Aldeguer.
Impressive.
Really impressive. And I had him in my top five. He disappointed me. He crashed. Yeah, he would have been right up there.
He was almost on for a podium.
Yeah, I know. I was. Yeah.
If he passed Bags and he lost to both Grassinis,
he would have
a different story.
He would have. In saying that though, Vinales got to a second or half a second and then just couldn't go any further.
Vinales, mate.
I know. What a topsy turvy top six and seven we're having each round to round.
That's what we're saying.
I mean, we got the top three has been the top three, but those next three, we got the two VR46s, we've got Aldegar, we've got, you know, we've got Vinales coming through now. Aigura finishing, you know, in the top six in the first round. It's probably not been as clear cut.
Maybe.
Yeah, Bez. Yeah, he went sailing off in the first corner, didn't he, into the sand trap.
I don't That's what happens.
That's what happens when you qualify back so far back as well, because you get into these instances. So it's incident.
It's not good, is it?
But yeah, for Aldegar, for me, he and dude, like,
he's doing
storm. You picked him for rookie of the year, remember? Yeah. And the first round's like, oh, James, shit decision. Oh, Aigura, and then. He's looking great.
He's looking really good. And obviously, look, the Ducati, the master of the Ducati is GG. He's built this bike that everyone can ride.
Yes.
And look, Fermín Aldegar, and a lot of people will agree that he didn't blow the house down in Moto2. Mm. He's not a Pedro Acosta, in my opinion, but he's on the best bike that everyone can ride. And now we know he's now fast on it.
Mm.
And he's just doing exactly what rookies do. They just push the limit. They go too hard. They find the limit. And they crash in these races. But he's going to get halfway through Europe and he's going to start being consistent. And he's going to go into the flyaways. And, you know, oh, he's probably on for a podium like Sepang or something as well.
Yeah, maybe
in Europe. So.
But that sprint race at, you know, Jerez, top six with the Ducatis.
Yeah.
You know? It's just the bike to be on.
Bike to be on. And that's just... They've done so well. There's a lot of things people don't like about it and what they've done to the sport. Fully understandable, but you got to give them credit.
There's two less of them now, though. So yep. Having six sort of evens up the field and they just got to do better. It's amazing that KTM are second in the Constructors' Championship.
Because of Vinales. Because of Vinales.
Can you believe that? It's crazy.
It's wild. Okay, well,
I got like Constructors' points, James. That's how the knowledge, eh? Constructors.
That's how much you're in.
What was
KTM? Was it? Did you say all four in the top 10?
All four in the top 10. Bastianini snuck into the 10th. And I think Binder and Acosta were that sort of 6th and 7th. And then Vinales finished 4th. So.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, but also there was...
those crashes.
There was 6 crashes, I think. So only 16 finishes and Marquez was 11th. So...
Binder ahead of Acosta.
Binder... I don't know that for fact.
No, he is. I know he finished ahead of Acosta.
Yeah, Binder 6, Acosta 7. Man, and they said that with an interview before the race with Aki Ayo.
Yeah, it was Aki Ayo.
And he goes, oh, well, you know, the first thing you have to do is beat your teammate. Mm. It's all talk about, oh, I'm going to go to Ducati, I'm going to do this, I'm not happy, I want to leave. But he's probably been the third, equal second fastest KTM so far this year. So again, verdict's out on him. T-Shavs is pretty hard on the old Acosta.
He dropped down to a 24 bike. He's back on his 24 bike.
Yep.
But you gotta understand for Pedro as well, like the distractions that this guy has. He's 20 years old. He's on a bike that he's been on, that's the brand he's been on his whole life. And you've got Honda throwing all of Japan at him to come over at 20 years old. Like, that's a distraction.
Are they, though?
Yes. They. That's a distraction that a 20-year-old second-year rider doesn't need. And I reckon that's being a factor.
Mm. You're right. Mental distractions.
Yeah, just a mental distraction.
And the thing is, a lot of people are comparing to Marc Marquez, and you got to remember that Marc Marquez come into the sport in 2013 at MotoGP and obviously dominated, but that Honda back then was just perfect for him.
Yeah, and he studied, as Scott Redding said, he studied Casey Stoner's data.
Mm.
You know, so like, and then obviously what happened with KTM, we know about that and the bankruptcy, whatever. But like all these things are a distraction.
Mm.
And now he's got to weigh up his future with being brand loyal or what KTM are promising. And now you've got Honda, who still, we can see the light with them, but it's still a gamble in a way. But you're also getting thrown a disgusting amount of money, which will change your life as well. And you remember, you're a 20-year-old.
Mm.
Imagine what would be going through your head at 20 years old if someone's throwing $18 million at you.
Take the money. Especially you don't know his situation with his family and, you know, does he come from money? Is he used to having money? Is his family wealthy? I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you. That's the other determining factor. You know, you have to remember that. Like if he's if he's supporting a an extended family as well, that can set them all up for life. I mean, you're going to take the money.
Mm.
And again, we speak about this all the time. Like, this is one thing we've learned talking to these ex-MotoGP riders. Yeah, well, I got offered this amount of money. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was about money. I thought it was about world championships and race wins. No.
It's like you selling Kias and then Hyundai come to you and go, oh, we can offer you 50% more. And you're like, nah, I'm just going to stay at Kia. Like, you would be crazy.
I know. Do you think Honda is really going to be the real deal, though, coming to the next 3 years? Like, do you see them back up to the top?
Yes. Bro, you got to understand, I know Juan Mir's crashing, but he's crashing from 6th. He's not crashing from 18th.
Yeah.
That is the difference. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's why I put that there in our power rankings. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Marini was up there for a bit as well. Zarco had a bit of an off day, but that's fine. He's been carrying the team.
Yeah, he did have a bit of an off day. Yeah.
I think he's had a bit of an off weekend, to be honest. Yeah. But that's okay. But Mir up there needs to be up there, and running in 6th is awesome. Even if you drop back to 8th, if you finish a race, whatever, it's still a great result. Like, they are making strides. I say this every weekend, they're making strides. I know everyone's on his back, but I don't think they should be. I'm a big supporter of what they're doing and what Mir's doing. I get it. He's crashing. But he's still fighting that bike, and to still be putting it in 6th, he's been 6th, 7th, 8th, whatever, in racing. Like, it's so much better. Bro, if you said last year, Honda and Mir are going to be up in 6th.
Oh, you laugh. Yeah. Say no way.
But you're given an option. You're going to be in 6th, your bike's better, and you still might crash. You're still going to take it. It's better than crashing in 18th or 15th, whatever he was doing.
And look, I think this time last year, we're thinking Juan Mir, he's mentally done.
Yeah.
And look, he's had a really rough start to the season. But yeah, as you said, the best analogy in this is there's light at the end of the tunnel.
There is.
He just got to stay on the bike.
Yeah.
Low side again.
I know.
9 out of the last 11. It's just how. And look, it's tough in that mid battle. He's fighting with those riders as well. Probably didn't have much clear air through the whole race. And that can change things with obviously the tyres and things as well. But we're making excuses now. But yeah, light at the end of the tunnel. And then over the other side of Japan,
Yamaha.
No, yeah, Yamaha, yeah. Their V4 looks the goods, they're talking.
Or they reckon they're going to test it. They're going to have Augusto Fernandez have a race at the end of this year.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Quartararo to come out publicly and say that, you know, it's going to be a really good thing for us and we're really excited. I think that's a really telling thing. So, super excited about that.
Bro, it's going to be cool. A little bit of a fun fact to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
I watched 2005 Jerez.
You did? Yeah, you posted that. We all saw it.
Yep. Saw some Kawasaki's running around, Rossi. But they had a minute silence for the Pope in 2005 Jerez.
Interesting.
What did they do this year?
20 years on.
20 years on, they had another minute silence for the Pope.
Something in that.
What a weird coincidence.
It is a weird coincidence. You know what's crazy about the Pope is this? That fella only got in about 12 years ago. So we've had 3 in 20 years.
Oh, really?
They need to pick a bit of a younger one or something. I don't know what's going on there. Crazy stat.
Crazy stat.
And they had, they had little things through their whole weekend as a bit of a celebratory for the Pope, which was nice.
It is good.
And the other thing is, Jerez is in the region Andalusia. It's like a state of Spain. They're known for cherry, which is the drink, like a port.
Ah.
And that's why their trophies were all like cherry glasses.
I like that.
Yeah. So it was funny. I was watching a show that night, like last night, with Gordon Ramsay.
And those two dudes.
The Italian and the French guy. And they were in Andalusia in Jerez and they're drinking cherry. I'm like, oh. And then I flick over, Joel Kelso holding up the cherry glass. I'm like, that's cool. It's like a little bit of a homage.
is a homage.
A bit of a homage, as we like to say. One thing I wanted to run past you. The logo still hasn't warmed to me.
Oh, okay. Fuck, I didn't even expect you to talk about this.
Yeah, it hasn't warmed to me. Again, I wanted the people at home listening and watching, what are your thoughts? They obviously unveiled it and we've been used to it. But for me, it's just too cartoony and, you know, doesn't have any history behind it. So
well, it's not going to have any history behind it, but
of course,
I've just kind of looked past it now. I don't even really look at it.
You won't miss it now. I've talked about it.
Yeah.
You won't stop looking at it. Yeah, it's just funny. Just thought I'd run it past you, see what you thought about that.
Yeah, no, I haven't even really thought about it at all. I great still answer. Like the old one.
Great answer. Yeah. Really, really informative. Thanks.
So I've got literally nothing on that.
No, that's fine. Great take. Beautiful. Yeah. That was a hot one.
If I'm not really thinking anything of it, though, it probably means I'm just used
to
it.
That's fine. That's fine. All good.
Yeah.
No worries. Carry on.
Okay. We're talking about Jerez and how much we love Jerez.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We love the track.
Yes.
We love the fans.
Yes.
We love the Spanish.
Yes.
Do you reckon there's not a lot of runoff in Jerez?
Well, there's a lot of comments we've had over the weekend and people saying that, you know, it wouldn't be on the calendar if it was a new track. Probably right. And there's just a lot of classic tracks like that. But for me, it just adds to it. I mean, those barriers.
Rins didn't need that, bro. Rins is the last person that needed that. That dude's hanging on by a walking stick.
Yeah, when it said Rins heading to the medical center, I go, oh, no.
And it was a big crash.
Yeah.
Fuck it out.
But that, bro, I'm telling you, those what are they called? The blow-up barriers.
Yeah, the air fences.
They're amazing technology, isn't aren't they? It? And, like, you know what was crazy about Rins's crash? I think he almost crashed when the two met in the middle, like they seen the seam.
Because
I don't know if it turns a corner a little bit there, but he went probably the fastest we've ever seen someone go into one of those.
Yeah, it was quick.
And they're trying to pull the thing, you know, like
it was quick.
And Morbidelli had a big one as well. But yeah, I mean, they're never going to take that off the calendar. They can't change the circuit, so you just have to live with it.
Well, that's it. It's just interesting. It's just interesting. It's still there, and like how it's still getting passed. Spanish mafia, mate.
Yeah, Spanish mafia. They control it. But you know what? They're still bringing it. They're squeezing in 240,000 fans to that circuit every year from now on. I mean, they'll do anything to keep that.
Not a blade of grass left on that hill.
Jeez, that's amazing.
What a party, man.
So you have to be there. They say you have to be there at 6:30.
But the hill was full. Was it 6:30?
It's so hard to get to as well. The traffic. So everyone gets there super early to get their spot. But if you leave any later, if you get there any later than that, you'd just be stuck in traffic for 3 hours.
What are we going to do when we go?
Helicopters, mate.
Great answer.
Helicopters.
Great answer.
But yeah, these are just classic tracks coming up, aren't they? I mean, we've got, Le Mans, Silverstone, Mugello.
Aragon.
We've got some new tracks as well coming up. So that's going to be really interesting. And who's going to nail the new tracks as well. That's the other thing. And Marquez is normally very good at that.
Yeah.
Finding the grip straight away.
Yeah. It's going to be... I'm looking forward to it. I just want to get through these races and God, who knows what it's going to look like in 8 weeks' time.
Yeah, I think we'll see a few Marquez wins, but which one we don't know yet. Jimmy, let's talk protection because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath like your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness. And look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUMREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast.
Last thing I've got is Jack Miller Electrical.
Yeah, any news on that? Just
he got hit by Morbidelli twice. There you go. That's the news.
Wait.
That's the news.
Serious.
Where did Morbidelli finish? The main race.
I left him out of my top five, by the way, because I knew we'd have a scrappy weekend. Morbidelli.
The DNF?
Morbidelli crashed. Lap 15, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. There you go. There you go, mate.
Actually, you know what? We still had 18 classified winners. We actually only had 5 DNFs. So it wasn't that much out of the ordinary. For having those four KDMs in there, that's something that is probably more impressive than I thought.
Would you call Chanter a DNF?
So what happened with him, James?
Arm pump. Bro, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Do you want to hear something? Can we just jump on one thing before that?
Talk to me.
I was watching it accidentally on delay by about 25 seconds.
That would have, knowing you, that would have almost sent you into the Shadow Realm.
So, like...
Cody would appreciate
it. Yeah, Shadow Realm. The Valley of the Four Winds that sent me in, Curtis. That's a WoW reference.
If you close your eyes, close your eyes, there's fairies everywhere.
Yeah, so for me, I was getting messages from Republica saying, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh.
And then it happening. So it happened as they were messaging. I'm like, how the fuck are they messaging so quickly? So Marquez going off, I'm getting Sepsi messaging. Yeah, fuck, how good's this? He allegedly meant that, how good's this, the racing, but he actually meant it because Marquez crashed. Sepsi on the wines as well. It's a dangerous combo.
Bro, I love... We message a few people, or they message us, and whenever we've got the time or we see it or whatever, yeah, we message back. When I open up your conversation of Sepsi, it is one of... And that's just... I guess a mate now and yeah, a listener of the pod, but the funniest stuff. When he said, I was actually tearing up, and you go, oh, seems like you're not really a Rossi Tard, then I pissed myself laughing.
Self-proclaimed Rossi Tard, yeah. Chris Sepsi.
Oh, is he self-proclaimed?
No, I self-proclaimed him. tearing up at the end of the race, like, Jesus, Sepsi. I think that bloody St. Hugo Shiraz from 2019 got to you, but
that's what, like $1,000 bottle or something like that.
Oh yeah, he's got plenty. He's got with his V4 parked in the driveway. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing that I think we might be starting to get some loosening up from these Rossi lovers. I mean, we're getting some love from if any of them are left are still watching the sport, that's probably the big thing.
Okay. Anzac Day, we went and watched a footy,
yep,
at the pub. This is what you do as an Australian.
We do, yes.
Had some beers.
Plenty.
Plenty. We got...
almost the most amount of beer I've ever drunk in a day, but go on.
Yeah, yeah. It was both sideways. We're with our pod favourite, Damiano Garipoli.
Garipoli, yep.
Famous for a Rossi supporter.
Well, if you walk into his house, he's talking about him most weeks, but... Rossi memorabilia everywhere. Rossi figurines, Rossi helmets.
Figurines.
He's got some amazing helmets. His helmet collection is incredible. Rossi this, Rossi that. Like, Rossi everything.
You go and take a piss or something like that, and it's me and him at the table, and he goes, James, you know, he speaks softly. He's like,
softly spoken, yeah.
Very softly spoken. He goes, is the MotoGP on this weekend? And I'm like, you got to be shitting me, Damo. And I'm like, you know, we talk about you every week, giving you shit, and the Italians shit. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just not up to date.
Yeah.
And he opens his phone up, and it's Rossi crouching next to his Yamaha.
It's amazing. So there's a lot of people we've met over the years. I mean... oh, bloody Luigi.
Oh my God. How do I remember his name?
Yeah. Anyway, this is a lovely Italian guy we've met. He's seen him at MotoGP every year. He's obsessed.
Obsessed.
Gianni. Jesus, Gianni. I knew it was some sort of Italian name.
Gianni?
Yeah, anyway.
You called him Giovanni for the first 4 years. Yeah. You knew him.
Giovanni. Anyway, Rossi fanatic. Like, I'm talking...
biggest fan I've ever seen.
He comes, flies down. He would wait at the airport for him, all sorts of stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Doesn't probably...
Bro, catches a... He caught a bus in and out of Phillip Island.
Stays at a hostel some years. Doesn't probably watch the MotoGP anymore.
I don't think he does.
And I...
he doesn't.
I messaged him maybe a year ago. Said, oh, we've started a pod if you're interested in listening. He goes, oh, yeah, heard about it. So he listens. He goes, oh, nah, not really a MotoGP fan much these days. I'm like, crazy.
How can you not be into it even when one rider's left? It's wild.
But it tells you two things. It tells you how amazing Rossi did transform the sport. And how they're just dying for someone with a bit of personality to come through. So
you'd think they would go hard for his VR46 team. He's got 46 blasted all over that bike.
They just don't. Jizzle over it. They just don't. And there's the memorabilia is not amazing. Like, you don't come to a Phillip Island, probably is a good example, and people aren't wearing VR46 shirts. They're still wearing Rossi shirts, you know?
Rossi shirts,
they're becoming less and less every year.
More Ducati stuff than anything.
Yeah.
I think.
Right. But yeah, interesting time. But, you know, it's healthy, MotoGP. Definitely healthy. They're just, you know, the next couple of years with these new rule changes, that's good. It's going to be a really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really interesting. All right, Moto 2.
Fuck, that's funny.
Moto 2 results.
What have we got, Doug?
Okay. All right.
Go on.
Manu Gonzalez, congratulations. OG.
Pod favorite.
Pod fave. First place. Well done. Congratulations. Again, another Spanish winner and was going wild. So it's always good to see.
Super humble dude as well. Super humble dude. Yeah. Really nice
lovely,
guy.
Lovely, lovely guy. Barry Boltas, second. Senna Aegis, third place.
Our boy.
Our Aussie boy.
OG. We call him OG pod favorite.
OG pod favorite. Had a really, really solid race. And
a mature race.
It's so interesting how similar his race was to Thailand when we watched him. He had Marrera behind him fighting for the last lap. And the same thing. I mean, it's just incredible. So Marrera fourth, as I said. Dennis Onchu finally coming.
Your boy.
Yeah, he's future world champ. Alberto Reynaz, sixth. Celestino Vietti, seventh. Aaron Canet, eighth. Jake Dixon, ninth. Philip Salach, tenth.
Give me Tony Arbolino.
Well, Huaytas had a better weekend, 13th.
Yeah, free sport.
Our boy, Colin Vaya, 14th. Arbolino, 15th.
One point, mate.
Yep. But yeah, it's... again, interesting times on OGP. That top 15.
Bro, like, it's crazy, isn't it? How do you fit it in?
I'll give everyone the example. I wouldn't know everyone's first names, okay? But that top 15 doesn't have the first names on here, James. I know.
No, that's because they're unlike
names.
You.
They're names. 16th to 20th. Yeah, maybe a little bit harder. Yuki Cooney.
Alex Eskrig. Anyway.
My big take from that is amazing how Intact GP can just dominate weekends like they have. They dominated Thailand and then again.
That's a common theme with Moto2 though.
It is. Like KTM back in the day used to dominate some races.
Bosca Scuro
and some tracks. But the other thing for me was how big a step Moto3 is to Moto2.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, you look at David Alonso and obviously I know we're only five races in. He qualified eighth. But yeah, just he struggled. He made one big fundamental mistake.
One mistake. He got taken out by his teammate Holgado.
Yes.
Or got hit. Yeah. But we're harsh, but I think he's starting to come into top tens now. Mm. He's only five races in. It's not too bad.
Not too bad. But the gap is big.
Gap's big.
This kid dominated Moto3 and he come into Moto2 and, you know, you're not expected to finish in the podium in the first, you know, half of the season, but this kid is one in every 10-year talent, you know?
I really see him podium at the end of Europe. I really do. I can just see it. Him and Holgado are doing awesome.
It's going to be a flick of the switch for him. It's going to be it's going to be one weekend. He puts it on third or second and then boom, the floodgates open. That's my prediction. But when is that going to happen? I'm not 100% sure.
It's hard for any floodgates to open in Moto2.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
Everyone has their races. Everyone has their ups and their downs.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
We're seeing that with like Senna Aegis, for example, this year.
Yeah, it's right. And going back to my point earlier when we're talking about MotoGP, it's amazing how an Aussie can come to this track where the Spaniards would know so well.
Just do all their racing there.
And for him to be so competitive all weekend is just, it's actually astonishing for me. Really is. And it follows what we're going to follow talking about this for Moto3 and the Rookies Cup as well. Like, what the talent we've got coming through is so good. So, super impressed. I thought to myself, you know, Senna third in Thailand. It's an unusual track. Everyone sort of, you know, it equalizes everyone. But for him to come out and arrest, finish third, man, great going. I'm super stoked for him. It's awesome.
Yeah, had some issues on the bike early on. Passed his way back, had Marrera throw the kitchen sink at him. Ran him onto the grass just about. And then pushed him real hard in that last corner. Rubbing's racing. I like it. Diego Marrera is awesome. He's a really, really fast kid. But
they're becoming... That's their foe, isn't it? After the race, he's explaining to his dad, who we know pretty well. And now he's like, oh, fuck, Marrera came the inside. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, you know? Wow.
And then he pushes him out in the paint, in the back straight. You know, Where's the if that was bloody Formula One, it'd be a 5 second penalty, wouldn't it? You put him out in the paint.
If that was Lando Norris, he'd be fucking crying, tears. Now we talk about Moto 2, and we love talking Moto 2 this year. And we're talking, all right, we're back in Europe.
Yep.
Cream rises to the top. Bang. Gonzalez wins.
Yes.
Kennett and Dixon, like 8th and 10th.
Weird.
And they're all the ones.
Weird.
Especially Kennett. That's his track, man.
I know. It's so weird. Well, yeah, his track. It wasn't his track back 6 or 7 years ago when he 10-pin bowled everyone.
You'll never forget. You wrong T-Shavs once. That's it.
But it
You'll
was just a forget. Ridiculous move. He was so far up the inside as well. Like, I promote anyone. Aaron Kennett, Moto3 Crash Arez. YouTube it.
Yeah.
Might even get Curtis to clip it in here.
No, it's not going to happen.
He's learning French over there, so I can't disturb him.
Je m'appelle.
Je m'appelle. So, but for me, yeah, I mean, Dixon, but you're right. Like, he can be 10th 1 week, he can be first next week.
That's the thing with Moto 2.
And it has been like that for a long time.
Yeah. It's just when, like, and it's so easy to sit here, as you said, and say this, but
yeah.
It seems like to win a title in Moto 2, you're like, you're going to have to accept the 6th place.
Yep.
And then like the 3rd, the 2nd, the 5th, the 1st, whatever it is. Like that's what it just seems to be. Like that seems like the formula for Moto 2. So it's an awesome championship. It's so tight this year. And, you know, again, congrats to Senna and Manu. We love them both.
Yeah. Talking about championships, Moto 3, it's really down to 2, I think, now.
Rueda
is just, he's an incredible talent.
What a race.
Yeah.
What a race from him. Holy
shit. Yeah. He's done it, you know, twice now. He's won, you know, dominated Thailand when we were there. He's won Kota. He's won Jerez. Had some bad luck in Qatar. Should have placed really well there as well. So amazing start to the season. We haven't seen this pre David Alonso when someone comes out and you know, can dominate a championship. But yeah, it's
I was happy you said pre David Alonso because I was like, oh, don't say it. Results, big boy.
Yeah, so results. I mean, as we said, Rueda first, Becerra second. It's those two, isn't it? Really is
second year for him.
And kudos, another third place, Joel Kelso.
Jolly.
So again, he's there or thereabouts.
Yeah, he's doing well.
And he looks like he looks like a different rider.
Yeah.
And we had this chat to...
Just faster. Outright faster.
We had this chat to Steve, his manager, last year. And he said, look, the previous years, he's done it all himself. He's had to go and get sponsorships. He's had to go and do this. He's had to go and do that. I've taken care of that for him. He can just concentrate on racing. And it really shows.
Mm.
He's on a new team now, but he's really going well. Fernandez, 4th. Yamanaka, 5th.
Nice.
Furisado, 6th. Pini, 7th. Pini little weenie. Carpe 8th, Ralston 9th.
Yeah, Jim, welcome back. That's good. Awesome.
That's unnoticed.
With a long lap.
And that's super, super cool. And look,
good to see.
All got excited about Joel yesterday, but for Jacob to put it up to 9th, for him to do that, recovering from that massive injury. Again, James, how many times do we talk about this? He's ahead of the pack. That second or third pack, he's leading it.
Yeah,
he does it year and, you know, race in, race out.
It's going to be interesting to watch him, you know, grow into the season.
Yeah, and then his teammate, Veroni, 10th. So, yeah, that's super exciting. Yeah, I mean, when Philip Island comes out to play, he's on 2 years on the bike now. And, yeah, he's going to be really up there.
Yeah, man. But like Moto3, Rueda just dropping the hammer. And like it just like toyed with him. And then just in Moto3, when you see someone drop the hammer and just bang out fastest laps, bang. And then he has like a 4 second lead.
Yeah,
At Jerez.
Yeah, Piqueras was funny, wasn't he? He sort of got past Joel and then made a couple of silly mistakes. But it was a strange race. I mean, we're not seeing that pack. I mean, we are in some races, but not seeing that, you know, 15, 20 rider pack like we have.
I think you just need a big straight.
Yeah.
It just closes them all back up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But even Jerez, like last year, I mean, from memory, it wasn't, you know, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but yeah, it's just interesting this year that there has been some riders that have gone out and had mostly Rueda and convincingly winning. So
that's pretty bloody good, man.
Yeah.
Red Bull rookies, shout out.
Yeah, my God. How's that, eh?
Carter Thompson.
That's awesome for him. He's been a follower of ours for probably, you know, a year or two now.
Yeah,
we've followed his progress. And And look, I'm flicking channels. I'm thinking, oh, Red Bull Rookies Cup's on. Oh, like, and he's, you know, he's in second place, third place, you know, five laps to go, you know.
Has a long lap.
I put my hand out and I said, I didn't watch the whole thing, but then, yeah, long lap penalty with a harsh incident, you know, racing incident, probably in MotoGP, but I think they've got to be harsh on these kids. And for him to come back and then I'm sitting there, look up again, and he's come back through the field and wins the race.
Amazing. It was actually an amazing race. I was yelling at the TV for him.
Oh, yeah. And then he's copping all this grief from the Indonesian supporters on his Instagram.
Was he?
Yeah, he's copping. We get a message from an Indonesian fan. He's like, I just want to apologize to everyone from Indonesia about the comments put on Carter Thompson's page. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, bro, you got it. He's like, you know, ridiculous, outweighs your talent because they're all doing the stoner thing. So,
what did he do wrong?
But you know what? It's good. That's good.
That's coverage for him.
That's
as well.
Coverage. And he went up, you know, I was flicking and refreshing, and I think he's up. He went from like, you know, 1,800 followers to like 2,500 or 3,000. So awesome for him.
That's cool, man.
Sponsors, all this stuff, you know, it's so, so important.
So important.
Well, we know how important sponsors are because we've got our big boy special ed coming up
this weekend. Yes.
So
Queensland Raceway, shout out to Special Ed, our Republica rider,
our OG Republica rider. Any young riders listening, we're starting a bit of a clan here. So if anyone wants our, you know, sponsorship, our logo on their bikes, reach out,
big dog.
What about logos, James?
Well, good luck to Special Ed on the weekend.
Yes, Queensland, good luck to
Queensland Raceway.
Yes.
If you're Aussie, you can watch it on SBS, I believe. And look out for Special Ed, our boy Eddie Leeson, because they won't say Special Ed, I don't think, on the telecast.
Eddie Leeson, yeah. Good luck, Eddie. We're rooting for you, mate. Hope they go well. Take it home. And hope you have a good result.
100%. So. We'll be cheering you on. Logos. Yeah, we may be working on a new logo for Republica. So watch your space, big dog.
Nice. Now, I'm going to be off for the next couple of episodes. I'm heading to the land of the rising sun.
Are you even allowed in Japan? Things you've said about them.
I don't know. I'll have Inumitsu, CEO, at the doorstep when I take a foot off the plane. But
Chanter will be there as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's not even bloody Nakagami. Japanese.
Yeah, but it's all the same thing these days.
No, that's the problem. He's not Japanese. It still doesn't work for me. So,
He got off lightly. We were supposed to talk about Chancho and we never did.
Oh, yeah, we did too. Well, yeah, arm pump. I mean, when you're 4 seconds a lap slower, I mean, Jesus Christ. And so I'm not going to be here the next couple of weeks. So, you got special guest Bandana Man back for next week, James. Guys, just be patient. James, hopefully, will get a word in, but we don't know. It might be just Bandana Man featuring James because he doesn't like to stay quiet on these things, but that's okay. He doesn't. And then Adrian the week after. So that's super exciting. I'm excited to listen. I'll be excited to try to find somewhere to watch these two races because, first of all, you know, VPN is going to be hard to get. I'm not going to bring my laptop with me. The race in Miami is at 3 a.m. There is nothing open. And then I think I'll be all right finding something for MotoGP because it's what normal time 9 p.m. over there. So
nice.
It's only an hour difference. So I'll hopefully be up with it. But yeah, 3 a.m. to watch that F1 race is going to be a challenge. But we'll find a way.
What am I going to do with myself while you're away?
Don't know. Play with yourself or something. I don't know.
I already do that.
No, you'll be right. You got a lot of work to do. he's got a lot of work. A lot of work for Jimmy in the next couple of weeks. Jimmy is the face of this organization.
Standard.
He does do a lot, so it won't be that big of a difference for him. But we've got to film a commercial for the MotoGP video game as well, which James is taking care of, which is awesome.
Thanks, bro. if any videographers are in Melbourne that would work for us for free. And we'll give you a shout out.
Not free. Yes, free, as in shout out, but also, you know, give you some merchandise and stuff. If anyone's keen on it, then
hit us up.
We just need a short 1 minute video done and to make it look a bit more professional than us doing it on our iPhones.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, I've been looking forward to this all week. World famous.
World.
Hot takes.
Every week it gets bigger, Thomas Love.
It does, yeah. And again, another one of James's jobs is to go through them. Just get thousands. But we have to pick our favorite, seven or eight we usually do?
Yeah, seven, but keep
them coming
nine,
in, guys.
Ten.
Don't let that deter you. Keep them coming in. We love them.
Yeah.
We actually look at them anyway if we don't read them out on the pod. So it's always a good talking point for us as well.
Yeah, it's always a laugh. There's some funny ones in there. Definitely some funny ones. Let's kick it off with our boy and regular hot take caller, let's say. But he's probably number one hot take.
Melbourne?
You got it right.
Yeah,
you got it right.
You know what? He messages through the week, and I don't see any other messages from him. So I'm like, is this the first time he's ever mentioned this? But he's done like a hot take every single week. Yeah,
the man's good.
Yeah, well, Harmon, we're going to get you on one day. Got to get you on the blower.
All KDMs in the top 10 shows that there might be light at the end of the tunnel for him. Is there light at the end of the tunnel for KDM, or is this a false dawn? Is this a Maverick Vinales fraud false dawn for KDM?
No. Two races in a row. I don't think it's a false dawn. I think there's something that's turned the table. Because, bro, we're in Thailand. We're in Thailand, okay? We're in Thailand. Yeah. We are on the last corner of the sprint race. We're watching it from the Marquez stand.
Who passes Vinales?
Chantra passes Vinales, okay? That's what we see in our own eyes. We saw that. So, he only had Lorenzo Salvadori behind him, test rider, not supposed to be racing anyway. So, you know, no fault of his own. But for him to come back, and I remember him shaking his head up the front straight, and he's thinking to himself, what have I done? And for him to go, you know, podium and then get taken away, and then P5, tide's turning. But the thing is, James.
Talk James, to me.
The tide's turning for everyone. Someone's going to finish 10th to 20th. And we talk about this every week.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Yamaha's coming up. Honda's coming up. KTM's coming up. Someone's got to finish last.
Yeah.
So that's why this is going to be so topsy-turvy this year. Because it's going to be track determinant of who's going to be well. We know the top six will be Ducatis and everyone else.
Everyone's improving. Ducati's plateaued because they're just number one. Everyone's on an improve.
Yeah.
The only team that isn't is Aprilia.
Yeah, and that's
because of no fault of their own. They need a top quality rider leading that project, which isn't happening.
Yeah, a consistent top quality rider. Even a consistent.
They can't rely on a rookie.
Yeah, they can't rely on a rookie and Bez.
Fraud Bez.
Yeah. I mean, I think writing's on the wall with him, as we said last week. I mean, eighth in the sprint. From memory, and then, you know, I don't know what happened to him. I didn't see the incident, but
I think he just is residing to the big F.
How many times has he outbraked himself for the first corner? Remember, Argentina did the same thing.
I think they got some rear tire-ish, like rear, if it's like chatter or something issues. Aprilia,
break earlier.
I don't know. They got to ride around a bit, and the fucking Agura is making it work.
Now I don't know what happened. If someone. He might have got pushed. He might have got, you know, but yeah.
There's a lot of factors to go into being a fraud. And one of the main factors of being a fraud for Republica, this is so ridiculous we talk about this, but it is the defense of that rider, unjust defense.
Yeah, and the thing is, when we say fraud, we're not saying he's shit.
None of them are shit.
No, they're not shit. It's saying he's showed promise. Okay, he's got the talent even. He's got the talent, but he just doesn't execute.
Yeah.
And that's a fraud.
Exactly right.
And there's a lot, as you said, there's a formula.
Einstein
came up with this formula a long time ago.
Thank you for calling me Einstein.
So yeah, there's a Latin word for it that Curtis is learning at the moment.
It's called Vinales. Curtis is learning. I thought he's learning French.
Yeah, same thing.
He's everything. He's actually got French in one ear and Latin in the other.
Yeah. His brain's going.
And he's got fairies on the screen.
Yeah, that calms him down. So.
I had a really good point until we just went off track with that, but oh, speaking about KDM, is it time we start contemplating taking Vinales off Road Watch?
Oh, I think if he can go top five again in Le Mans, he's off Road Watch for me, because KDM's then on Road Watch because that's harsh actually. KDM is improving, which is good. But yeah, I think so. Bez is mother fraud at the moment.
He's fraud king for this.
It's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy that works, but he's just getting, he's doing the right results. But there's other riders on the grid that, you know, Juan Mir, he has the bike. He's crashed 9 of the last 10, 11 races. Fraud.
He's not, no, wrong. He doesn't have the bike. The bike's still not there.
Argument for another day, but for me, Harry.
You see, he gets his going, but...
He does.
Harry. At MDub93, you guys should get Jace from Gypsy Tales on the podcast. Would love him on.
Yeah. Jace's been, we've been in touch with him a few times, so that'd be a clash of... It'd be just both of us asking questions to each other.
Yeah, true.
It'd be amazing.
That'd be good. He's
but it's up. Like, you know what? When a podcaster goes on Joe Rogan, it's actually normally a really good podcast.
Yeah, true. When they swap.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Fly us over to US and we'll jump on the Gypsy Tales podcast.
Yeah. Case, I was watching one of his clips and he said one of the riders is like, you got to fly me from this airport to this airport. It's like, it's 50 miles or something.
Yeah,
it's
who like, was that? It was an old school rider. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, and he goes, I can't get there, mate. If you want me there, I'll fly. He had a plane in one airport and flew him
it was
over.
Like, who was it? Anyway, it was a one everyone wants him on. At Hizzy Hamza. Pecco is already out of the championship. This is a straight shootout between the bros.
No, I disagree. I think Pecco still has a fundamental part to play in this championship.
Wow, you've changed your tune, mate. This whole year you've said Pecco's done. He's done.
No, I think he's still got a very important part to play in it, but Marquez is still winning convincingly in this championship. That's the Mark variety.
At our boy, North Carolina.
Oh, Drayson.
Yep.
Yeah, boy.
87S.
How negative.
The jewel of the West, or whatever you call it. Jewel of the South.
The jewel of the South. North Carolina, the jewel of the South. That gets you going, doesn't it?
He either laughs or cries when they say
that. No, he loves it. He just don't say I'm from Ohio.
Yeah.
That's their other listeners.
King of Ohio.
You know what's crazy? We go into YouTube analytics and it says Ohio up like 400%. That's crazy.
I've got so many listeners.
It must be like they hear the name and it like comes up on their feed on YouTube. Yeah, incredible.
Something. Why is these weird Australians talking about this weird state or wherever?
You know what?
Ohio
the Aussies is. Over the weekend, I reckon this pod will go well because everyone's going to go, oh God, we're going to listen to the Australians' point of view because they podiumed in every single, except in Corona GP.
It was more Vidali's fault, but.
True, yeah. He couldn't count him out before that happened. Twice he hit him. Twice. Jesus. Twice.
Messed up, man. If anyone's going to hit you, it's going to be more. Anyway, Mark crashing again means he's pushing the envelope more than we originally thought. It's a good take.
It's a great take, and he definitely didn't need to do it. Again, I think it goes down to Bagnaia being in front of him and him red misting, pardon the pun, due to the sort of the beat up on the first lap. If it was his brother up there, would he have crashed? Probably not. That's my take.
Time and place.
Yep.
Time and place. Here's a question I've got for you, and I was meaning to ask you this at the start of the episode. I actually didn't write it down. Do you think it's okay that riders are helping each other out? Mark and Alex go out in qualifying and punch laps out together. VR46 boys did it. Morbidelli, Bagnaia, and I think it was... Marini maybe went out and then helped each other there as well. Are you okay with that? Are you not okay with that? What do you think?
Well, I've gone on before even podcast. I used to hate when Marquez used to do it. You know, he used to wait for the rider Dovi to go out and then he'd jump on the bike and go.
Yes, different though, because this almost seems like it's mutual understanding VR46 boys are doing it, which is funny, and the Marquez boys are doing it, which is funny.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that?
Oh, it doesn't really worry me, but the thing is at the moment, I haven't got someone in that paddock that I really dislike or I'm really thinking, I'm sick of them winning. You know how I always go for the underdog?
That's why you're a Bomber supporter. We always say that.
For me, it's I'm neutral at the moment about that. Does not worry me. I don't think it's unfair or anything like that. If you have they're two separate teams. But they're brothers. If you got a understanding of that, fair enough. It doesn't worry me. What do you think? I mean, we had a few messages over the weekend about it. Free Palestine, I think his name was. He's like, yeah, I'm over it. I'm over them coming out. But how are you supposed to police that?
Or you can't.
It's not like Tour de France. Oh, this is for the OGs. Tour de France when they do the time trial.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to. You have to be like 10 meters behind the car in front. Yeah. The bike in front. You have to like pull out of the slipstream. Gone. What are they going to be? Is it going to be like that? It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can't police it.
That's fair enough.
The big thing is the yellow flag rule. That's the thing that's changed for me in qualifying. And frustrates the heck out of me because you got...
What a weave you're just doing right
a
now.
a rider goes down and then fucks everyone's lap up. You know, for me, it's so frustrating.
Flavio Berrettoli.
Briatore, yeah. What do you think of that? What do you... Obviously, I don't think you mind about it. It's not something that you go, yeah, it doesn't worry me.
No, it doesn't bother me at all. Interesting thing you said is you said you're quite neutral in MotoGP now. Do you think you've become more neutral since starting this podcast?
100%. Yeah, I mean, you see...
And let me add further on to that. Same with Formula One. Is it the same with Formula One?
Definitely both the same, and because you have to look it more in depth. It's like a football commentator, I suppose. You know, like, you don't go for it. You probably wouldn't go for a certain team. Deep down, it's good to see people win or lose and that sort of thing. But for me to see the journey of Marc Marquez come back done is just incredible. For him to where he was to where he is now over the last 3 years has just been the most amazing sporting story, I think, you know, in the last 10 to 20 years. So to him to come back and win a world championship would be an amazing thing. And look, in his Honda years, winning all those championships in a row, I'd be the first person to say, I can't wait till he falls off. You know, hate what he did to Rossi and all this stuff. But once you learn more and watch more and you meet people, you meet the riders, you know the personalities, your whole perspective changes on these guys. Like, they're all amazing. Mm. Like, we give Chance a shit, we give Vinales shit, but they are incredible what they do. And when you go and watch this sport live, if you haven't had the opportunity to do it, it changes everything.
Yeah.
It really does. And to be in the back of the paddock and see these guys walk out with broken collarbones, they're getting held by their team, you know, walk to the back of the pits and things like that. It just gives you a whole new perspective on this sport and how much of a warriors they are, you know?
That's great point. Really well said. Our boy Special Ed, great win, but Alex is a regular offender for the out-of-control dive bomb.
Alex.
Fuck, he was in hot. Alex Marquez.
Nah, it was like the line was there and he just was on it. Like, it was...
I think he was firmly on the line.
And I think it was so hard to pass at that track. We saw that with Bagnaia, and I think he had to go for it.
Easy one. Lucy_Phillips. Mark hates getting beaten. His relationship with Alex could tank here if his brother is a serious contender.
I was touching on that with him not stopping, but I don't think they'll ever, you know, fall out of love with each other.
I don't think so.
But yeah, I mean, what happens if, you know, that would be juicy. Taking each other out. Like, what do? They look at each other. Do they push and shove when they're going? Like, what's going to happen
I think they're too tight. They're just too... I genuinely think if Marc Marquez lost the title to Alex, he, of course, he's going to be disappointed, but he would be happy for him. Yeah. And I genuinely do think that.
No, I agree. I think you're on the money there. I think he would definitely be happy. It's going to be a similar situation where he probably had to cool himself off and then... realize how amazing it was, but it's just an interesting take for me, though. He didn't stop and didn't celebrate with him, but maybe he wanted to give Alex that moment to himself as well.
Yeah, true. Good point. At Willie Nels, our boy, number one ticket holder contender, with success of the AFL gather rounds, V8 supercars in Australia and Aussie superbikes need a festival at Phillip Island for the reach around.
Well, they do one in Darwin, don't they?
Good work.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I would love to see
that. I think V8 supercars has very much fallen out of love with the Phillip Island circuit, though. They haven't been there in a few years now, and I don't know if that was nasty in how that finished or not, but it'd be a big up for ASBK, definitely. Yeah. And I think I personally think the future of ASBK is possibly following the V8 supercars around for their circuit races. So for them to survive, as I think they need to be a support category at this point in time. I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yeah, it's a good call.
Because, I mean, they're not making money renting Phillip Island out. And who's paying for that? It's probably more the competitors rather than the fans. So
it would be the competitors.
Yeah, their entry fee would be paying for that circuit, not the fans turning up, not the food and drink getting sold. So
No, definitely not. 100%. At D. Bernhardt, would Quartararo be a championship contender on a Ducati? Crazy how he rides the Yamaha. I'll answer that. Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
There's two riders that 100% be championship contenders. For me, that would be Quartararo and Pedro Acosta. You cannot change my mind on that.
Yeah, verdict's out on Pedro for me, but...
I'm telling you. Yeah. I'll back that in to the day I die.
Imagine 3 years' time. 3 years' time, James, we've got David Alonso coming to the championship. You've got Acosta. You've got Marquez getting older on his way out. You've got Bagnaia, Quartararo. Like, it's going to be a magical time coming up over the next few years.
It just always seems like we are now.
Yeah, it definitely does. But, and like the last, I think, but before Acosta and before Quartararo, there was a little gap in...
Well, you had the Italian, you had VR46 come through, but they probably just didn't live up to the hype.
We had all the Bs, didn't you?
Yeah.
Baldassare, Bagnaia, Bezzecchi, Bastianini. Yeah. They're all the same. They're all Moto2 together. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Don't know what happened. That's the Italians got lazy after. They go, oh, we won't go A, we'll go B. We'll start with B as the last name.
Just, that was just autism right there.
Yeah, that's Curtis. Sorry, Curtis.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. Go to the next one.
HG.Ava. Pecco not beating Fabio should be a bit alarming. Of course, Fabio is exceptional, but still.
Yeah, that's a great point. And yeah, I think there was some real issues with tyre pressures and wear as it heat and all the aero stuff. But at the end of the day, as we said, Alex got past him. Unfairly or fairly, either way you look at it, but got past him. And Bagnaia needs to be more aggressive to even have a chance at this world championship. So,
and like when he is aggressive, it worked.
Yeah.
Punted Marquez fair and square, and then Marquez made a mistake. You got to upset that man's rhythm.
Yeah.
That's the key to Mark Marquez.
Great point.
And it's almost always been a key to Mark Marquez. You just can't let him be out in front. And you can't let him bully you.
No.
And you got to upset his rhythm, and then, you know, he can do the damage. But... just doesn't really seem like anyone can do that. But Bagnaia had a crack. The funny thing is it's not really like Alex Marquez does that, because they don't want to take each other out either. But I don't know. Something big's going to happen. And like what we said at the start of this year is if... and it's proving our point, and I'm sure a lot of people have said this, but the only title contender to Mark Marquez is Mark Marquez himself. And he's proving that.
Yeah.
He's a point behind Alex Marquez, and he's won every race he's finished.
Mm.
DNF2. Last one. Your boy. Chris Sepp. Spanish look up for Spanish and MotoGP.
Of course he's... did he say that? He's tearing up. He's tearing up. God. Yeah. Well, there's got to be a little bit of that, but, you know, rightfully so, I reckon.
I reckon there's got to be a little bit of that as well, to be honest.
Oh, there you go, eh? All right. Well, thanks, guys. I'll see you back in... well, you'll see me on Patreon if you're a subscriber in about a day's time. But you'll see me back in 3 weeks' time for... I don't know what's going to be on that. I think F1's back that weekend, so you'll see us on the Monday night. So,
yeah, cool. And we're planning a cool podcast with a few of our boys.
Yeah, the bros. Yep. Looking forward to that. So, thanks, guys. Keep liking, subscribing. Really appreciate it.
Enjoy Japan. Be safe. And Patreon's coming up.
Yep.
Make sure you check that out. We're about to do now our April review.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. See you guys.